Hey, Leading Learning listener, if improving as a learning business professional is one of your goals for 2026, make sure to go to leadinglearning.com/summit.
The Learning Business Summit is the only event laser-focused on professionals who lead and work in market-facing businesses that serve adult learners. Across 3 days online, you'll connect with peers and experts to strengthen both your knowledge and your network.
Featuring hands-on practitioners and subject matter experts, the live education sessions are designed for participation, reflection, and, most importantly, action to boost the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business.
And because leveraging technology is essential for any learning business, the summit also includes demos of LearnTech platforms.
It all happens online January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Go to leadinglearning.com/summit to get all the details and join us for the Learning Business Summit.
Now, on with the episode.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 46 of the Leading Learning Podcast. And this is a special episode because it marks our 1 year anniversary. We have been doing the Leading Learning Podcast for 1 year. And so we thought we would focus today on the idea of leading learning. But before we get to that, I want to be sure to thank Calm Partners, makers of the Elevate Learning Platform, for being the sponsor for this episode of the Leading Learning Podcast. And you can find out more about Calm Partners at calmpartners.com. So Jeff, leading learning.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've gone a year, I think, without really digging into the fundamental concept that lies behind this podcast, that lies behind the Leading Learning Symposium that we offer in the fall, and that really, you know, goes as far back at least as Leading the Learning Revolution, and it was a major concept there. And so, you know, just to dig into that a little bit, I mean, we started off this podcast and named it Leading Learning, specifically with the Leading Learning Symposium in mind. And that's coming up again this October in Baltimore. And certainly, you know, we welcome leaders who are listening to this podcast to go and find out more about that event. You can go to symposium.leadinglearning.com. But the concept just goes, you know, so far beyond that event. And, you know, even though we started this podcast as kind of a run-up to that, we felt like it was something to keep going, to keep a conversation going and talking to people who are doing meaningful work in the business of lifelong learning, who are helping to kind of set the pace and lead the field. And, you know, over time to really build up an understanding of what it does mean to lead learning.
And I think one of the key ideas for us is just this notion that the leading really can have broad impact, broad change, that you can look at a field or an industry that you're serving, and that if you are really leading the learning, there can be new skill development, new knowledge shared, all of that is passed on. And so you're not just helping individual learners, you are doing that, but you're also really having a broad reach across an entire field of profession. And that seems like the sort of holy grail of leading learning, to really have that sort of broad impact.
Absolutely. I mean, when you're tuned into the learning that informs a particular field or industry, I mean, like you said, you know, you're preparing the future workforce for that industry. You're making it possible to sustain that field or industry by bringing people in, giving them the skills that they need, helping them to develop those skills they need. And we had a great conversation, or you had a great conversation with Shelley Alcorn and Elizabeth Engel around that very topic a couple of episodes ago. We'll definitely make sure we link to that. But learning, of course, is also, you know, it's the catalyst for change in just about any part of our life, at an individual level, at an organizational level, at the level of a field or industry or a society. So if you are going to be the organizational leader, if you're going to be the organization that's going to make change happen and move your particular field forward, then you have to have a forward-thinking vision of you know, what that future state of your field or industry looks like, and then take the time to think, you know, methodically about what kind of learning needs to happen to actually make that future vision a reality. And I mean, right now, this is just such a fundamentally important concept, and I think it makes the work that the people who are listening to this podcast, the work that they're doing is just so incredibly important for that reason.
And I think because of some relatively recent changes, that work has just gotten increasingly important. I mean, you've written before about what you've coined as the other 50 years, this idea, you know, as we're living longer and longer, that time between people, when people leave, you know, college with a degree to the end of their life, that's, you know, at least 50 years. And it seems to be getting longer and longer as lifespans increase in most countries across the world. And so that the idea of, wow, there's this amazing expanse of time and there's learning that needs to happen and must happen. And so the work that folks in the business of lifelong learning are doing seems to be just increasingly important.
Yeah. And I mean, the pace is getting faster all the time and there are new disruptions on the horizon. I mean, we've talked a little bit here and there and have presented about things like, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, all of these things that are coming along that are already disrupting, you know, a large number of fields and industries. And thinking about things like that and what does that mean for the future state of your field or industry? And then again, what does that mean in terms of what people are going to need to know, what new skills, different skills are they going to have, and then how are you, you know, as an organizational leader, as an organization, setting the pace for the learning that's going to define the future of your field or industry? So, you know, that's kind of the overall concept, and we could talk a lot more about it. I mean, I think it's a big, meaty thing, and I think it's something to, you know, to have front of mind for anybody who's in the business of lifelong learning these days. But I guess to, you know, to help make that a little more concrete or make it a little more possible for folks to dig into, we came up with 7 points of reflection, really, kind of questions to ask about your own perspectives, your own activities, both for yourself and for your organization as a learning leader. So we can spend, you know, the remainder of the podcast, I think, talking through these 7 reflection points and giving some food for thought for listeners.
And I'll just say that we really do consider these good reflection questions. So, you know, we're going to spend a little time reflecting on them here, but also encourage you to really take a little bit of time either on your own or with your team to reflect on these as well. So the first point is, and these are all questions really, you know, is, are we supporting our learners effectively in learning to learn and helping them to really maximize the return that they get from the learning experiences that we offer?
Yeah, and I think this is it's an important question to start with because, you know, we all spend so much time putting together learning experiences, putting together events, you know, putting stuff out there for learners with the assumption that they kind of know what to do with it. And, you know, and we've written in the past that, you know, many adult learners just don't come through an education system. Most of us, you know, at least in the United States, don't come through an education system that necessarily sets us up really well to be effective lifelong learners. And then, you know, you had an interesting conversation with Dr. Brian McGowan in the last episode of the podcast around a similar point, really, that, you know, as we are delivering or facilitating learning experiences, in many cases, learners may not be taking the, you know, the actions that they need to actually make that learning part of what they're doing going forward.
Right. So being aware that it's not safe to assume that the learners know how to learn, and that really folks haven't been exposed in many cases to the best ways to approach things. They've been kind of lulled into thinking that the learning should be easy, and you kind of can just cram it in if you have to. But we know from also talked with one of the authors of Make It Stick, and, you know, just that the idea of spacing and interleaving and these ideas that we know make for more effective learning, but often you get pushback from learners because it makes it harder, mm-hmm. But it actually strengthens the learning. So, I think there's that helping our learners to appreciate why we're doing things a certain way and to make them aware of the benefits of the difficulty.
And I think it's really probably one of the greatest services that any organization that is effectively leading learning can do for its members, its constituents, its customers, whatever the case might be, is to help them understand, you know, what constitutes effective learning and to help them build that skill over time. I think we have that as the first point of reflection because I think it probably is, you know, point number one in really making sure you're being effective as a learning leader.
So the second question we have to pose is, Are we investing in the performance and effectiveness of our subject matter experts, presenters, and facilitators? So, you know, the first point really talks about helping the learners. In the second question, it's really focused on then the people who are trying to help those learners. So, you know, you have to help the learners know how to learn. And then we also have to make sure that we're helping the facilitators and the teachers that are there to support the learners, that they understand how effective learning happens.
Yeah, an incredibly important point. And we're seeing some progress on this, some organizations making more time around their events, their webinars, those sorts of things to, you know, help build the skills of their presenters, their facilitators. But this is based on the recognition that, you know, a lot of times, particularly with trade and professional associations, but also with, you know, a wide variety of other types of organizations, you have these experts and they know their stuff. I mean, they definitely know their stuff. And, you know, oftentimes they've got advanced degrees and years of experience, but that doesn't mean that they're great teachers. It doesn't mean that they know how to facilitate learning effectively and to help those learners out, you know, that we were just talking about. So really investing time as an organization, you know, with preparation, with supporting documentation, with modeling, with mentoring, you know, the things that are really going to help your subject matter experts come up to speed and be truly excellent. Again, I think that's definitely a mark of an organization that is leading learning.
And I think too that with this idea of supporting the experts and there's the idea too that that's really helping you as an organization preserve an important relationship that I think that, you know, again, we've talked about before, the idea of today how technology has made it so much easier and lowered so many barriers that you can have the individual entrepreneurial expert who goes out and can share her stuff and can kind of set up her own shop and bypass the organization. But I think part of what you're doing, if you're investing in that performance and effectiveness of those experts, that's going to help make them be loyal to you as an organization.
Yeah, definitely deepening that relationship. And we've made the point before too, that this can be a particularly strong way to build relationships and cultivate relationships with younger members and to position this as a benefit that you are going to help them be, you know, effective facilitators of learning. And that's an incredibly powerful skill and valuable skill to have today. So if you as an organization are helping to make that happen, you know, for these millennials and everybody else that everybody's so worried about, that ups your value as an organization. So let's talk about the third point here. We've been focusing on, you know, the people involved in learning, the learners and the subject matter experts or facilitators. But now moving into, you know, the nature of the learning itself. And number three, our question is, you know, are we thinking and acting in terms of networks and relationships instead of transactions? So are we treating learning really as a process rather than as an event?
And I think that, you know, that's really key. And I think we at least intellectually all get that it's really not about an event. I think all intuitively sort of understand that it has to be, you know, beyond whatever happens in the 2 days you can bring a group of people together. And I think it's really about connecting people with one another and then making sure that you're connecting with the people in a meaningful way and that they're connecting with each other in a meaningful way. So it's the connection and it's the meaning, the purpose behind that connection.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the reason that that we started this podcast in the first place was to start, you know, building some connections, making some connections before the original Leading Learning Symposium, and then to be able to carry that on afterwards. So to keep, you know, a conversation going over time and continue to build those connections and think of the learning that was going on not as, you know, that 2 days in Baltimore, but as the time leading up to it and all the time after it, and continuing to strengthen the learning through, in this case, you know, a podcast being a mechanism for doing that. But there's so many ways to do that, you know, online communities, just, you know, continually being engaged in social media, you know, all of the sorts of ways that people do normally communicate with each other. But I think as an organization that's leading learning, you need to be thinking about that. And as you think about, okay, here comes our big annual event, you know, how are we thinking about that as something that really is extended, that's a process over time, and that event is just sort of one point in that overall process, and here's how we're going to support going up to it, here's how we're going to, you know, facilitate and support after it. So we really are engaging in an ongoing process with our learners.
And it can be messy to move away from the sort of event or product focus and really embrace the idea that learning is a process, because you have people entering at different points in the process and you have all of those types of logistical difficulties. But again, I think we all know and that for folks to really learn, and especially back to this idea if you're really looking for change in a field or industry, you have to, it's going to have to be a long-term process.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you're going to achieve in a 1, 2, or 3 day event. You know, let's face it, most of what people, quote, learn during that time period, they will have forgotten, you know, 30 days later, unless you're really having this continuing relationship. And I think our fourth point actually relates to that very well. And the question here for point number four of reflection is, have we articulated a clear value story for our portfolio of learning offerings and developed, you know, offerings to support that story?
Yeah, and I think that this is the idea that if you stop looking at them as individual products and you really take that portfolio view, you need to internally as an organization understand how the products fit together to support the overall learning process. And you have to make sure that the learners understand how those products fit together. So that's, you know, I think this idea of it has to be a story, the kind of thing that people can kind of walk up and go, oh yeah, that makes sense that you have this and this and, you know, this event and this course and this book and it all fits together. And I begin to see it and appreciate it.
Yeah, I think, you know, anybody who's coming to, this is probably going to be your website in most cases, or however they're getting to know you initially. You know, let's say it's a young new member, you know, that's just coming out of school, coming into the field. If they can show up on your website and can see, you know, visually and just in the materials that are reflected on the website, a path for them, you know, that spans their whole career. And they can see that learning path, you know, and that may be a combination of introductory materials and experiences that you offer them, some mentoring. It may be, you know, some more advanced things that happen on down the line, maybe a certification eventually. You know, there may be some sort of fellowship program that, you know, happens late in career. And they can see that and they get a vision for how you are supporting them over the long term, how you're providing this incredible value over the long term. And we talk about this in terms of a value ramp, and we'll link to the value ramp in the show notes here. But you know, for every major segment of your membership or customer base that you serve, you ought to have this concept of a value ramp and building out that story over time for them to see. And you know, they then recognize you as a leader of their learning. You're kind of laying out that vision and that path for them.
So our fifth point, the fifth question is, have we found and do we continue to seek ways to demonstrate the impact of our learning?
And we had a whole episode on this a few episodes ago, and we'll link back to that. But I mean, that's probably, you know, one of our biggest beliefs is that, well, A, learning should have impact, you know, in the first place. You don't want to, you know, engage in all these activities to really have nothing to show for it in the end. But then also that increasingly, you do need to be able to show it. You do need to be able to demonstrate that the learning activities, the learning experiences that you're facilitating and providing are actually moving the dial for individual learners, certainly, but then also, you know, for the organizations that those learners work for, the companies or wherever it is that they're working. And then, you know, to go back to the original comments around this whole concept of leading learning, I mean, this is where it all comes to fruition, that, you know, ultimately you're seeking to impact the, you know, the entire field or industry that you're serving and raise the bar. And, you know, we think, you know, particularly with organizations that are concerned about relevance, you know, which has been such a buzz term. I mean, this is where you want to be relevant. You want to be able to show over time that you have actually been effective, impactful with the learning that you're offering. So the extent that you're, you know, you're not measuring the outcomes that you're getting from learning, that you're not measuring with at least some subset of your learning, the behavioral change that you're creating, if you're not looking for metrics that indicate that the learning experiences you're offering are actually having an impact on the field and industry you serve, then you need to be doing that. That's a fundamental part of really being effective as a learning leader.
And a lot of organizations will take the smile sheet approach and, you know, ask kind of questions that really aren't getting at the impact, you know, that's more focused on the logistics or more focused on how much the learners liked it. And back to a point we made earlier, right, that learning often can be difficult. So learners may not like it because you're making mm-hmm. them work and it's requiring effort. So I'll reference yet another earlier episode. We had Dr. Will Tallheimer on here talking about kind of how to remake smile sheets so that you're getting more effective and useful and truly relevant data out of those. So I think that you need to know that you need to be looking for the impact, and then you have to figure out, okay, what are the mechanisms we're going to use to measure that impact?
Yeah, yeah. And I hope folks who are listening are tuned into the fact that we keep referencing other episodes here. So we've been actively thinking about this and trying to, you know, tie these themes together and connect the dots. And so the things we're talking about are things that we have talked about before and do have, you know, some other resources to point people to. And, you know, all of this sort of weaves together a big picture. But I think with our last couple points, you know, we can start getting maybe a little bit more tactical too, and how all of this fits together. And so point number six is, do we understand the overlap between marketing and learning, and are we continually striving to improve our capacity to leverage that connection between marketing and learning?
There's absolutely the blur between marketing and learning, and I think people can see it just in the idea of content marketing, mm-hmm. which has taken over. I mean, it's this idea of you're delivering something valuable, and usually that means you're teaching them something, you're right. letting them learn something. And so that's kind of become really mainstream in terms of that relationship between marketing and how it begins to bleed into learning. And so being aware of that, and then, like you're saying, making sure that you are continually revisiting, and that you realize that they have to feed off of each other, and you have to keep doing both the marketing and the learning, and there's a trade-off there.
Yeah, and just to recognize too that, you know, that marketing is not a dirty word. You know, I mean, good marketing should be truly valuable, and as you just, you know, suggested, I mean, the best content marketing, I mean, it's either going to be entertaining or educational. In the best instances, it's both. Mm-hmm. You know, you're providing a service to your prospective learners. You're demonstrating your value, and when we talk about the value ramp, we talk about, you know, needing to build momentum to send people up that ramp by providing them with high value educational experiences, often for free or very low cost, at kind of the lower part of the ramp that then builds momentum. So, you know, thinking of your marketing as an opportunity to educate people, but then also thinking of your education as a way to point the way to other educational opportunities.
And so the seventh and final point for reflection is this question: are we using technology in ways that effectively support all of the above? So the previous six questions. And I think that we sort of hinted it at the beginning that there's been so much change in the recent years, and technology is one of those areas where there's been, you know, a huge amount of change, and that technology has opened up a new tool set that we have and that can really help support learning.
Yeah, technology has been the driver for so much of this change, but then it's also what's going to help us to actually deal with the change. And you know, we purposely ended on technology here because, you know, too often in this new learning landscape, conversations begin with technology. You know, can we put a learning management system in place? You know, can we put an online community in place? You know, if we just apply some technology to this, somehow we're going to be able to fix things. But you have to start with the other stuff first and think about that overall vision for leading learning, thinking about how you need to support your learners, how you need to support your subject matter experts, how it all fits together. And then technology really is kind of the glue that holds everything together and gives you the tool sets you need to be able to effectively lead learning.
But it's all the work that you do before that then allows you to see, okay, which technology makes
right,
sense
right, exactly.
to support us.
So those are the seven points, and we'll have all of these listed in the show notes for this episode. So they'll be, you know, written out so you can actually see them and then be able to, you know, spend some time on your own. Or we highly recommend, you know, doing this with a team internally, spending some time talking through these, reflecting on them, and then potentially coming up with some actions, you know, related to each of them as you move forward. And, you know, start to, if you aren't already, you know, to start to conceptualize yourself as a learning leader and conceptualize your organization as leading learning in the field or industry that you serve.
So to get show notes for this episode, you can go to leadinglearning.com/episode46. And while you're there, you're going to see various options for subscribing to the podcast. And we hope you will subscribe.
In fact, you could think of that as your anniversary gift to us. As we noted at the beginning of this podcast, this marks a year for us. That's a labor of love, but there is definitely some labor there. And we'd really appreciate it if you would take the time to subscribe and also to do a rating or a review for us. And that just helps other folks know about the podcast and know about the quality of the podcast. And you can do that by going to leadinglearning.com/iTunes.
And before we wrap up, I want to be sure to thank again Calm Partners for sponsoring this podcast episode.
And we do also want to mention again that if you are a learning leader or an aspiring learning leader, somebody who's a senior leader at your organization and who has, you know, financial and strategic responsibility for your education business, we would really love to have you join us in Baltimore on October 24th and 25th for the Leading Learning Symposium. And you can find out more about that at symposium.leadinglearning.com.
So thanks, and we'll see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.